morning, Christ King Church and everyone online. You guys have a good Thanksgiving? Who's got some leftovers still? Dang, jealous of you guys. I just got back last night from Thanksgiving with my family out in California, so my voice is a little shot, that's why. But hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving. And we're talking about thankfulness this morning, but we're diving to a new level of thankfulness beyond just what we have, and I'm excited to see how God grows each and every one of us in that. But with Thanksgiving, there's one dish that I could definitely do without. And I know someone's going to rebuke me for this, but cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce. I don't know if I just haven't had the right one yet or what, but I could definitely just go without the cranberry sauce. For me, it's just that like bitterness or that sweetness. But I know someone at the last service already offered to make me their cranberry sauce to test that fact. So, but for me, it just doesn't add anything to like when it touches my turkey. It doesn't make my turkey better. It makes it more bitter. If it touches my stuffing, it just makes it more moist and bitter. And I could definitely just go without the cranberry sauce. And I was actually grateful, extra thankful this Thanksgiving, because at the end of it, I told my aunt who was making the cranberry sauce, I didn't know she was making it, because at the end of Thanksgiving, we're all saying our goodbyes. And I'm like, it was kind of nice. There wasn't any cranberry sauce this year. And she goes, oh, it's in the fridge. Let me get it. I'm like, no, we're good. I shouldn't have said anything. But I thought I got away for 1 year without any cranberry sauce. But welcome back, everyone who's come back from college as well. Good to have you guys. I see you, Adrian. And it's just good to be back. And so with that, I was kind of thinking of, some of us have had this experience lately. I had it recently when we were going to the grocery store, and there was only one person in a line, and then there's five people in the other line, so I go to the person with one in front of me. But that person had some complaints, and she had some issues that was going on, and she needed to call the manager. And she just starts going and unleashing everything on the manager. And the complaints, the bitterness, and it just kind of taints your day, doesn't it? It doesn't make anything better. I don't think complaining's added any hours to any of our lives. But I'm like, cranberry sauce is kind of like that complaint. Like, it just adds a little bitterness to it. I know someone's going to come up to me after service, but that's okay. And so how do we battle the temptation to complain and to grumble as God's people and instead battle that with thankfulness? And that's what we're talking about today. Because we have a lot to grumble about. We have a lot to complain about. But we also have a lot to be thankful about, more than we think. And it will transform our lives and actually our health. When we live out of thankfulness, it changes us. So there's actually something I want to share with you. That was a study done by clinical psychologists measuring the health benefits of thankfulness. And so they shared that thankfulness reduced anxiety, it reduced depression, it reduced aggression, it reduced stress, it reduced PTSD, it reduced cardiac disease, and it reduced inflammation. You see the health benefits, the mental and the physical health benefits of thankfulness. And it increased self-esteem, it increased mental strength, and it increased sleep. Can I get an amen to that? Especially college students, come on. And so it increased sleep, thankfulness. And so no wonder God's word mentions it so many times, and the Psalms are filled with it, and our worship flows out of thankfulness. And we see how it will change us. And there was two groups that were surveyed by these clinical psychologists, and that's where they got these results out of. And it started by asking the first group to write down negative parts of your day. Write that down for a long period of time, and we're going to measure your health benefits or health changes from it. And then the second group, they said, write down what you have to be thankful for every day, and we're going to measure your health benefits or changes as well. And what do you think happened at the end of the results? Those were the results. They found that the group that wrote down the negative parts of their day, their mental health was negatively affected, and their physical health was at more risk. But the group that recorded what they were thankful for each and every day over long periods of time had increased self-esteem, increased mental strength, and increased sleep patterns. Wow. No wonder it's so valuable to God. And it was good going back home and being reminded of this, that something that our family did whenever we got around the dinner table together, we had a couple rules that my parents instilled was no phones at the dinner table, and also share what you're thankful for today. No grumbling, no complaining. And my sisters and I would sometimes go the other way, or sisters would start complaining, and parents would bring them back. No, I didn't say share what you're grumbling about or share your drama. I said share what you have to be thankful for, to reorient how we ended our days. And it was really amazing to see just that behavior that my parents instilled in us growing up around the dinner table. Every week and every night together, share what you have to be thankful for. That they wanted to make sure this wasn't just our posture for 1 week around Thanksgiving, but that it was a daily ongoing behavior out of who we are. But there's danger if we don't live out of thankfulness. There's these things that we see in Scripture that give us these warnings to make sure that we don't go there. And we see one of them in Romans 1, verses 21 to 22. It'll be up on the screen. And it says that, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And the result was that their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. So not worshiping God or giving God thanks, how does that affect us? Well, we see it led to dark minds. We see that the mental health that it actually affected as well, and it leads us to greater darkness that our world surrounds us with all too often. We also see that he's saying they became utter fools. They were mistaken. They thought they were wise, but they were actually foolish. So there's a deception there, there's a foolishness there, and there's a darkness there, all because we could neglect to give God thanks and worship him. Has this been us? Have we neglected worshiping him? Have we forgotten all that we have to be thankful for what he's done? Have we wrestled with the fact that it's hard to be thankful when things get worse, or have we given into that and stopped being thankful when things get worse or taken away from us? If we have, it's just remembering. Remembering what God has done. And that's the beauty of those worship songs and that last song, Thank You, Jesus. Wasn't that amazing? Where it's just simple, starting out with thankfulness of what he's done, of setting us free, of changing our hearts. Or have we forgotten? Have we forgotten and we need to return? Have we forgotten that God can work everything together for good, even the hard parts, even the times that we are suffering? Have we maybe forgotten that the things that you suffer now will be nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to you to come as sons and daughters? Have we forgotten these things? Because when we forget thankfulness, we often forget to be hopeful also. When you meet someone who's grumbling, they're not very hopeful, are they? Bitterness just lasts, and it catches on to us. Like when we're seeing someone chew out the manager all too often at the grocery stores. Or you who are in management know that all too well this year. And so we have something going on here that Israel had to wrestle with. They had to wrestle with thankfulness and how that affected their spiritual maturity. It was one of the reasons that God had to keep them in the desert, because they neglected to give him thanks and could not worship him, could not give him thanks, could not recognize what he had done for them. And so Moses had to start with them at the kids' table. Now, I love the kids' table. I wish I could still be sitting at the kids' table, but this year I had to sit at the adult table because the kids' table got jacked from me, and I was upset. But the kids' table. Moses is sitting at the kids' table in Exodus with God's people, and he's telling them the lessons of thank you for the, thank you for the. Have you ever tried to teach a child to be thankful? I remember at Trunk or Treat, our outreach here a month ago, we're giving out candy, and there's hundreds of families and kids, and when I'm giving it out, you know, you hear the dad in the background, Sammy, what do you say? Thank you, sir, for the candy. And that's good. That's teaching thankfulness at the child's level. We're teaching that at the kids' table. Moses had to start somewhere, and he starts there. But we have to move to the adult table of spiritual maturity so that we don't stay in spiritual adolescence with our relationship with Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How to move from thank you for the to the adult table of thank you even though, that Habakkuk has to teach us. But Moses is frustrated. He's leading God's people. He's been called. And in Exodus 15, God does something unseen and remarkable. He parts the Red Sea, and God's people walk through, and God consumes his enemies. And what's the very first thing they do when they get to the other side? Moses gives God thanks and leads them in worship. Very first thing when they're free, they worship God. And it says this in Exodus 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider have been thrown into the sea. Very first thing he wants to teach God's people, be thankful and praise him always, in the good and in the bad. So you'd think that'd be a good lesson and that Israel would kind of start to get it, right? Well, we see Exodus 16, very next chapter, what happens? The grumbling begins. The grumbling begins even against Moses and Aaron, their leaders. And it says this in Exodus 16, verses 2 to 3. The whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat, and we ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. See what happens when they abandon thankfulness? They had a grumbling attitude, but you also see what happens? It went from thankfulness to accusation. They started accusing the leaders that God had put in front of them to lead them and to love them and to care for them and to sustain them. It went from thanking to accusing. And there's been all too much accusations recently, haven't there? Maybe if we relearn the art of thankfulness, the spirit of accusation would not have a stronghold anymore in our society. And all of you guys working in retail or management or food, oh my gosh, the accusations that we hear about, right, are unreal. And you feel like you're on that end of Moses or Aaron, or sometimes you just get so frustrated that you are the one on the other end as well. So that's why it's so important that we get this as God's children, because the devil wants to destroy us, church. He wants to divide us, and he wants us to accuse each other and take each other down so he doesn't have to do any more work. If he can have us accusing one another, he wins. But if we are thankful, it's going to lead us to praising God, and the devil doesn't have a foothold anymore. This means everything. And so then they go on. So they grumble about Moses and Aaron, and they grumble about food. Then what happens? God provides them. He rains down manna from heaven. You'd think they'd have the strongest faith in the world. They just saw God part the Red Sea. Next, they see God literally provide their daily meal on their front lawn and even on their days off. And they still grumble. And we laugh, but we do the same thing. They still grumble, but we do the same thing. So Exodus 15, God parts the sea. Exodus 16, they grumble. Exodus later 16, God provides manna. Exodus 17, do they give God thanks? No, they grumble. What do they have to grumble about now? Water. Why did you bring us here? We're going to die. There's not water in the desert. God says, let me show you to have faith in me. Moses, grab your staff, strike the rock, show them what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide for them, even when they don't think I can or I will or they don't see it coming. I'm going to provide for them. So that's why it's so important, because God took Israel on this journey for 40 years. And if we don't get this, what would he take us through just to learn this lesson of thankfulness as children of God? But there's good news that we have a choice. We have a choice to complain and to grumble, or we have a choice to give thanks and to praise. And it starts by remembering what God has done, or it starts by looking at the cross. And always starting at the cross. And so for me, I was wrestling with this grumbling and praising kind of mentality the first year I moved out here in 2018. And I started grumbling about what I don't have anymore. God, you took me away from my family. God, I don't have my community. I don't have my old church. I don't have my old friends. I don't have these things anymore. And it destroyed my mental health. And it was really hard the first 6 months. But then God had to convict me and remind me all that he had done. Because you know what's interesting is that in that stage of my life, that was the stage I saw God providing more for me than I had ever seen before. No wonder the devil was tempting me to complain and grumble, because he didn't want me to see how much God was going to provide for me. Not everything I wanted, but anything I needed to keep going. There was times where my gas is on E and God's saying, trust me. And I'm like, God, I got 30 miles left to go. I walk into church, someone hands me a credit card, said, I felt like you should go fill up. I could have been grumbling the whole time. But God wants to teach us something, because you see the provision. And don't mistake provision for prosperity, but provision for provision. And so we can always find something to complain about. But if we can always find something to complain about, we can always find something to be grateful for, and not just for the things, for this and that, for bread and for water. But it goes a step further. And we see that when we live out of gratitude, our worship will change. Gratitude starts with worship. That's why worship is so healthy for us. You know, when you get in those times of worship, it reorients you. It reorients your day, it reorients your week, it reorients your mindset. You don't come out looking the same. If you did, you probably didn't let God do what he wanted to do in your heart. But it changes us. That's why we love worship. That's why it's that dessert of the church. It's that sweetness. It changes us. And it starts with worship. Our worship would change when we realize what we have to be grateful for. And we would see a whole new type of worship flowing out of us. But there's the problem of, how do we live thankful when things aren't good? How do we live out of thankfulness even though things get worse? How do we live out of thankfulness then? Because that's becoming and became more of our reality, isn't it? What about when life gets worse? What about when life just sucks? What about when things hit and don't get better? How do we live thankful? Not out of a forced religious obligation, but out of sincerity. So how do we live out of thankfulness even when things get worse? And that's where we move over to our adult table that Habakkuk has to teach us. He's sitting at the adult table, and Habakkuk was a prophet of God in the Old Testament right before Babylon comes in and comes over Israel. And Habakkuk was bold. He knew how to hear from God, see God, talk to God, and he brings some questions to God. And he starts out with this question. You know the question that you as Christians will be asked more than any other question by non-believers? The number one question: if God is good, why do bad things happen? Or why is there evil in the world? Number one question unbelievers ask Christians. I've been asked that plenty of times, and I've asked that question. If God is good, why is there so much evil in the world? You know what? Habakkuk actually brings that question up to God. He says, God, let me talk to you for a minute. I got a question for you. Why is there so much evil in Israel? We're God's people. Why are you letting evil prosper? And God says this. He tells Habakkuk, basically, I love this world more than you do. And I will deal with all of its evil. Do not worry. But Habakkuk's worrying. So Habakkuk goes back, and he hears that response, and he goes back to God again. And he says, God, why won't you hear me? How long will I cry out? Why are you letting violence and injustice and corrupt leadership reign over our land? Does this sound familiar? And God says something. He responds to him. God answers our prayers. It just might not be what we were expecting or what we really wanted. But God tells Habakkuk this hard reality. He says, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, and they're going to rid you of all the evil in Israel, and they're going to come after Israel. So Habakkuk goes back to God, and he goes, God, what? Why would you do that? I just asked you, how are you letting evil reign? And you're saying you're going to send the evil people to my doorstep. How could you do that? And God basically responds and says, don't worry. I will deal with them. Babylon will fall. Now, do we know Babylon as a nation anymore? No, they fell. God said they would fall, and they fell. He says, Babylon will fall, and I may use corrupt nations now, but I do not endorse their sin or their evil. I will deal justly with all corrupt nations. Don't you worry. And God will. God will. All nations and all of us will be accountable to his justice. All the evil that we see and all the evil that comes after you will be accountable to God's perfect, holy justice. That's good news. And so out of that place, Habakkuk realizes Babylon is coming to his doorstep, and they are the most brutal, vicious people and military the world saw at that time. And they're coming. And God says they're going to strip you of everything. They're going to strip all of your crops, all of your land, all of your livestock. You're not going to have what you have now. They're going to strip you of everything. And Habakkuk says this cry to God. In Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19, he says this. And this is the main passage this morning. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will make me as sure-footed as a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. Wow. Thank you, even though. Thank you, even though. That was the cry of Habakkuk. That was what God had to teach his people at the adult table. And that he had already taught them to be thankful for the. And now he had to teach them a hard lesson. Thank you, even though. So may we pay attention to what God has to say so we don't have to go through that lesson, but can just learn from those who have gone before us. Thank you, even though. Even though gas prices and grocery prices are increasing, thank you, even though. Thank you, even though I'm not sure where the next meal is going to come from. Thank you, even though. Thank you, even though my card may get declined. Thank you, even though I feel all alone. Thank you, even though sickness is surrounding me and my loved ones. Thank you, even though my friends or family are dying. Thank you, even though. Yet I will give God thanks. I'll do cartwheels because Jesus has me. I'll stay close to him because he holds my hand, and he will put me on the mountaintop of gratitude where I can't be shaken. Thank you, even though. This is the time, church, for us to live out of that place as a witness to the world, even though it's going to get harder for the church to be the church, even though it's going to get harder for us to gather, even though it's going to get harder to live for Jesus, even though there's going to be more pushback when you live according to Scripture instead of culture, even though we can still praise him, right? Even though. And so one of my friends is such an inspiration to me. His name's Jonathan, and we went to college together. And he's one of those people that I just kind of ask God, like, God, why do they suffer so much? Why were they dealt such a hard hand? And he is one of those stories that he should probably be dead or in jail. And he grew up, and he went through so much trauma as a boy and really rough home life. And then was put into the foster care system, and then really rough time there. And then just weeks before college was homeless, living in the park, on the kids' playgrounds, in the tunnels, just trying to get rest. And then God provided a way for him out of that. And he's one of my best friends now, and he's going through more and more even those than I've ever seen. And I'm like, Jonathan, even though you're alone, even though this happened, even though they abandoned you, even though you were hurt, even though this keeps getting worse, how do you stay so grateful all the time? It's almost annoying. And he's like, Kyle, I just have to remember God has done so much for me. And he just teaches me this. Every time we catch up, he's so thankful, even though things are getting worse, every time we catch up. And I'm just amazed at his life of thankfulness and how that changes him. And he wouldn't be here if he wasn't living out of that thankfulness for who Jesus was in his life. He would not be here. I know that. And if we can't leave the kids' table, and if we're staying at the place of only thanking God for what he gives us, we're stuck in spiritual adolescence. And God wants to mature us, right? Isn't the New Testament filled with Jesus saying, I'm going to prune you, I'm going to mature you, I'm going to grow you, so that we can sit at the adults' table and say, thank you, even though. And what's that even though for you? Think about that. What's fill in that blank? What is that for you? And can you bring that to God? Because that's what Habakkuk was so bold about. He lamented to God. It was not just complaining. There's a difference between complaining and lamenting, right? Lamenting is that heart cry. It's that grief. It's that mourning. And God wants us to go through that when we need to. But there's a difference between lamenting, crying out to God from that depths of our pain, to complaining and grumbling, as we see in Exodus. There's that difference. But may we grow into the church that God wants us to grow. May you grow as a son and a daughter into who he wants you to be, so that we don't have to have our parents shouting in our ear when we get the candy given to us. What do you say? What do you say? Say thank you. And I love this passage. Just to close, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says this. Paul's writing this to the church in Thessalonica. He reminds them at the closing of his letter, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Notice how it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Because we have a lot that we don't really have to be thankful for. We can always complain about something. But it says give thanks in all circumstances. In that place that is getting worse, give thanks. In that place when the diagnosis is getting worse or has not changed, give thanks. In that place when you feel like you're missing out, give thanks. In that place when you're crying out, how much longer will this go on? Give thanks. In that place where you were mistreated and it broke God's heart, you can say, give thanks. How strong would we be as a church when we live like that? Wouldn't it be amazing? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give thanks in all circumstances. And so, remember the crazy health benefits that thankfulness reduces your anxiety and depression, aggression, stress, PTSD, cardiac disease, inflammation, and it increases self-esteem, mental strength, sleep, and just our maturity as the church. So we're never meant to stay at the kids' table forever. The kids' table is meant to be a stepping stone. And that's what we have for our thankfulness, as a stepping stone. So I want to invite you to take a moment right now, just between you and God, silently or out loud, to thank him even though. Fill in the lines, what that is for you, those even those, and just thank him. Just cry out saying, thank you, God, even though, and just take a moment right now to go to him in prayer, and then I'll close us out together. Father, for all that you've done for us, that even though we've strayed from you, that you sent your son Jesus to live, die, and raise from the dead so that we could be in relationship with you. Thank you, God, that we are not meant to stay like children, but that you want to grow us and grow your church. Thank you, God, that even though we go through it, even though the fires and the trials may come against us, God, nothing can stop our praise. Thank you. Even though it looks like it's going to be harder to be the church, thank you that you are going to use us to be a light to this broken, dark world, Lord. And I ask, God, that you tug on the heart of anyone who's never come to you or given you thanks for what you've done in their life or recognize the gospel in their own eyes, that Jesus died for them, so that they could have life and live for you. I pray that they can come to you, God, right now and even after the service, and live out of gratitude, God, live out of thankfulness. Thank you, God, for who you are, and that we get to live as your children each and every day, though we don't deserve it. Your grace calls us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and God's children said, amen. And we have more to give thanks for today, as Michelle shared earlier, is that we get to have some baptisms. And so I want to invite my helpers forward and Pastor Craig, and we're going to move on into our next piece of worship.
Thank you, Pastor Kyle. What a beautiful message. Give Kyle some encouragement. That's from the Lord. It's from the Word of God and from the Lord. It speaks to his heart in a beautiful way. And I was thinking, as Kyle was teaching there, at this kids' table, and how often I tend to sit there. Thank you for, but when that four goes away, where does the thankfulness go? And it got me thinking that when I'm thankful for, I'm waiting for something in my hand that I want from God. But when I'm thankful, even though I'm only got the hand of God in my hand. And that's a place of maturity that each of us get the privilege of going. It's what kind of hit me about that message today, is the amazing gift of God. If you look on the wall here, we had some folks join at the early service at 9:30 today. Their pictures will be on the screen. You can see some of those. And they're part of this mission. And I just want to lift up their names. The Lewis family, Corey and Nathalia and Maya Lewis, Andrew and Kat, Fiona, Joanna, Helena, Gideon, Burma, all joined today. Pat Odom, Larry and Juanita Goldman, and also the Bolden family, our worship pastor, Jason Bolden, his family, Anissa and Aaron and Brielle and Christian and his lovely wife, Raina, all joined today, a part of this mission together. So what an awesome morning it's been, people being about what God wants to be about. And I just want to refresh, let's all read what's on that wall. That's why we are here. It's a mission God's called us to in the world. Let's share together. We're about connecting all people to the life-giving message of Jesus as we experience God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in our world. I pray that'll be a part of your heart and what God does in shaping you and growing each of you as me, as we share together in faith today. What a neat time we get to share this service in baptisms. And when we gather in baptism, God does an amazing work. So we have to ask why. Why baptize? It's because in Jesus' last words that he shared with us in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's merely by the word that God gives us that we are commanded to go and to baptize. If you're listening today, you're a part of the service, and you've never been baptized, I want you to think about baptism. Because what happens? Is it just water? Is it some routine or ritual of the church that seems meaningless to our lives and to the world? No. Because God makes a promise to us. And he makes a promise through something we all need, water. And he says that through water and the word, I will wash you. Through the word that I give you through the scriptures, I will cleanse you. And through this gift of baptism that Jesus gave to the church, he says, I'll forgive you all your sins, and I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we know we go, and as the early church began, people began to baptize. We became a part of the church through this beautiful gift of baptism. It's a covenant that God makes with us. It's like an adoption, Paul writes in Romans. He adopts us and claims us as his own. That happens no matter what our age is. And he forms a covenant that he says, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. So today, as we practice the sacrament of holy baptism, some people come to baptism later in life. They make a decision, I want to follow Christ. There's stories in the Bible like that. And they come forward and say, I want to be baptized because I claim you as Lord of my life. In other cases, it's like a covenant. You have parents that come to that know the Lord that and want their children to be adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm making a promise that I'm going to raise my children in faith so that one day they stand on this stage and they confess their faith toward Jesus Christ and they live in that faithfulness. So today we get the privilege to share in both those aspects of baptism, all because God claims us. And then as his people, we grow in Christ, being baptized and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. So I'd like to ask these families to come forward as I call out their names. Liam Henry Bollinger is going to be baptized today. Stephen and Paige, come on forward. And their sponsors, Jack and Sarah Green, come on forward if you'll stand behind them. The Wilson family, Marilyn Sophia Wilson, is going to be baptized today. Mom and Dad, Matthew and Vilma. Little sister, Vanessa. And their sponsors, Joseph and Kent. Come on forward and stand with them, if you will. And also, we have being baptized today, Aaron Casey Guzanato, that's the mom, and her two children, Anthony and Eleanor, and the father, Anthony, who's bringing his whole family for baptism today. Come on up. You can already hear the screams of the Lord. I think it said, come to know Jesus. Come on up, guys. Look out here at your family. They embrace you. You have sponsors that are with you. The role of sponsorship is to make sure that these parents and these children grow in faith. But the whole church are sponsors. None of us are let off the hook. We don't leave it to just mom and dad or grandpa or grandma, whatever, sponsors to raise children in faith. We're a part of a community. And today I would like to ask you as a congregation, will you promise, as the people of God, to help these children and these adults continue to grow in faith to their last breath on earth, they may proclaim Jesus as Lord? If so, I ask you to respond, yes, with God's help. And for you as parents and sponsors, I'd ask you that will you continue to grow in faith? Will you continue to raise up your children to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Will he and she continue to grow up acknowledging and following Jesus as the way and the truth and the life? If so, I would ask you to respond, yes, with God's help. All right, let's baptize. Paige and Stephen, if you bring Liam up. Liam Henry. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for his life. We pray that your Holy Spirit will fill him, that he will grow in grace. He will acknowledge you as Lord, and you will keep him all the days of his life. Amen. Little Marilyn, come on up. Marilyn Sophia. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Marilyn. We pray your blessings over her life. May you fill her with the power of your Holy Spirit. May you walk with her all the days of her life that she may claim you as Lord and follow in your way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Remember Vanessa? Come on up, the whole family. Come on up. Casey. We had the privilege of meeting together on Wednesday night and just hearing of your marvelous growth in faith and your family and hearing your testimony of the day that, Anthony, you were baptized out in the fountain in the foyer. Came in here as an atheist, one who said, I don't want anything to do with God, saying, I'm going to commit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today you stand before this community with your whole family to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Applaud you for your faithfulness and the beauty of your family to come to know the Lord. So Casey, first we baptize you. If you lean over the phone. You lean right just as you are. Casey, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for her life. We thank you for her love for her children. I pray, Father, that you would continue to fill Casey with the power of your Holy Spirit. You will draw her ever close to you. That she, as the mother of her children, will raise her children to know you. They will seek you, moving from the child's table to the adult table, to know that you are faithful through everything. God, may you hold breath into her through the last days, Lord, that she may always call upon your name. In Jesus we pray. And Anthony, let's start with you. Just please, Lord. Anthony, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Anthony. I pray your power of your Holy Spirit over his life. Father, I praise you for his family, and I pray for the anointing that you will have in him, that as he grows in his family and in this church, he may come to know you as Lord and confess you as his Savior in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Eleanor, come on up. Eleanor, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for Eleanor. I thank you for her life. I thank you, Father, that you have given to her the gift of your Spirit and all the promises to walk with her all the days of her life. Father, I pray that as she lives in this family within this church, she may come to know you more and more as Savior and Lord and follow in your way. In Jesus' precious name. For each of you, we have a gift. We'll give you some certificates here in a few moments. And Kyle has a candle for you. And as he gives this candle to your family, I just want to remind you that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he is the light of the world. But he says to each of us, go into all the world and be a light to the nations. So as these children grow in grace, may they continue to grow in the favor in the Lord, and in the light to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. Now, candles are always exciting. Whenever you light a candle, all eyes are turned toward it, and certainly the eyes of children. So I want to encourage you as a family, and those of you who have been baptized, that on your baptismal birthday, relight this candle and be reminded of what God has done and what he continues to do and what he will do throughout the time. That's a lot of candles to hold, Kyle. You might want to hold it. You might want to help up here. But light that candle and be reminded, as I shared this crew on Wednesday night when we were training together, that everybody may acknowledge your birthday, but not everybody acknowledges your birthday in Christ. So this day is the day I want to encourage you to light that candle. Sit down at the table and talk about how good the Lord Jesus is and what he's doing in their lives. Amen. Well, Kyle, would you take this other candle for just a moment? I want you guys to lift these children before the Lord, and let's give them a big round of applause. We welcome you as God's family, as fellow members of the body of Christ. Let's stand together. Come on, a round of applause. Standing is great and awesome. God is good, and he is beautiful. Look at the house of God. God loves you. God loves you. Have an incredible week. Let's go live in that Thanksgiving that our Lord has for us. I can't wait to see you next week. We're in a new series, The Gifts of God, starting in on our Impact Sundays. Will be awesome. Bring a friend. Prayer partners will be in the front for you. If anybody would like prayer, come on up. God bless you. See you next week.